Hey, good morning. Back here on the mighty 690 KGGF. A cold Tuesday morning, no doubt about, but to heat things up, we will bring a attorney general in his now third term, sworn in yesterday, but it is joining us over the phone, Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. Good morning, Mr. Schmidt. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Sam. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. It's a bit chilly down here as the state of Kansas kind of going through the ice box right now. It's going to even get colder this weekend for that Chiefs game as well, so it will be interesting. But real quick, we'll just go ahead and start off this interview. Congratulations. You are now in your third term. Took your oath of office yesterday. And again, Derek, congratulations. I've always enjoyed these interviews with you. I've you know, being as young as I am, it's hard to be exposed to the things, but I've done my research. I've looked into it as well, and obviously you are, you know, you've proven yourself to be here for your third term now. You've done a great job, and again, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Sam. I am really grateful for the chance to keep serving and appreciate everybody's help and support to do that.
Well, it was a big day for you guys yesterday, but not necessarily just for you individually. It was just a whole gathering yesterday up in Topeka. So let's just go ahead and go over the highlights that you had from yesterday.
Well, right. You know, the old expression is elections have consequences. And, of course, that's true. At the end of the day, in an election, we're selecting a government, governmental leaders. And yesterday was another one of those, you know, terrific American examples of the peaceful transition of power. There were people that supported now Governor Kelly. There were people that opposed her. But at the end of the day, she won the election and is now the governor of the state. And with all the pomp and circumstance that accompanies an inauguration, and the transfer of command of the Kansas National Guard and the Kansas Highway Patrol, that occurred yesterday. And I think everybody was, even those people that disagreed with the outcome and are not pleased that she's going to be our governor on a policy level or a partisan level, they were very pleased, I think, with the grace with which Kansas yesterday handled the transition.
Well, that's great, as also you have made some new appointments to your really directed staff, I guess I should say. And who are those appointments that you have made for the upcoming year? I know C.J. Grover is your new media release guy. I've gotten many emails from him, but who else is a part of your staff for the next upcoming term?
Yeah, we've added a few folks. We've lost a couple of people. Things change over time, and when you've been there 8 years, people's lives move on. So, but we've added a handful of people at the administrative core of our office. We always are changing people out in the profession, the prosecutors and the litigators. But at the administrative core, we've added a young man named C.J. Grover as our main public information officer. He's the name people will see in the press more often. C.J.'s graduate of KU Law School and used to work for Congressman Yoder and Senator Roberts over in Johnson County, and now has come to join us. I think he'll be a very good addition. We added a fellow named John Milburn. That might be a familiar name to some. John and I actually go all the way back to Boys State, back when we were juniors in high school. We grew up together at KU and were both on the student paper together, and then he stayed in journalism and was an Associated Press reporter at the State House in Topeka for many years. That's why people might know the name. He had bylines for many, many years. He left that a few years ago, went into government service, started working for the state, and we were able to get him to come to the AG's office. He'll be our executive officer, which is a only slightly fancy term for one of the people that actually makes the agency run when you have you're responsible for a public agency with 150 employees and a $23, $24 million a year budget. Somebody has to make sure that the shop is running properly, and he'll be one of those key people, just making sure the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So those were a couple of good ads. We have a couple of others, and we're looking forward to sort of refreshing the team for the third term.
Yeah, it's always good to get some fresh faces in there. Always, obviously, good to return those same ideas, but again, getting some new ideas in there and just bringing that with that. So, yeah, I'm excited for another great 4 years with you at the helm there of Attorneys General. And again, congratulations on being sworn into your third term yesterday. So, I guess we'll just go ahead and kind of now segue into what you have been doing and what you're going to be doing here actually today, as you'll be heading off to Washington D.C. But before we get to that, I'd like to talk a little bit more about this crime victims compensation board. Is 274 victims, I believe, in its January meeting were compensated for those violent crimes.
Well, right. This is one of those state programs. It's small, it's obscure, and it actually works. Back in the 1970s, I believe it was, might have been the 80s, the legislature set up the state crime victims compensation program. It's a program that's designed to provide financial help to people who are the victims of violent crime, through no fault of their own, they've suffered a financial loss, and they have no other means to pay it. So it's a fairly targeted group of people. But every single month, a three-member board, their volunteer members, I get to appoint them, meets, they review applications, they approve or disapprove applications, and then the staff processes those. And you know, real-world examples. We're talking about, for example, a victim of a rape who needs physical assistance or counseling for a period of time after the result, after the crime, and doesn't have insurance, doesn't have money, and somebody has to pay for counseling services. That's the type of thing they can do. On the counseling side as well, the surviving members of a homicide, a family member is killed, they need money. The surviving members don't have funds, they're poor, they don't have insurance, and they need money to provide for a burial or for counseling for because of the loss. That sort of thing is what these folks do. And by the way, there's no tax money involved, at least no state tax money involved, I should say. There is some federal money. I don't know where the feds get it, if it's tax money or otherwise, but there's a federal matching grant that we use. And then the state portion comes from a piece of the fines and what's essentially a tax on inmates in the Department of Corrections when they buy things at the commissary. So the money's paid by the folks who have caused the harm, at least indirectly.
Yeah, I think that was one point that I definitely wanted to, you know, get across there, is that, you know, it isn't us paying for anything of that rest, you know, of that recovery there. It is the people that caused the harm that that are having to pay back there. So I do like to see that as well. And then also these kinds of programs, because, you know, God forbid that sort of thing does happen. It is good to have a helping hand, and it's good to see that this program works as well.
So it happens to you or your family. Sometimes it's hard to imagine how important it can be. But this is some of the more meaningful work we get to do dealing with these families in a time of terrible need. And sadly, typically we're talking between 200 and 300 awards per month in Kansas alone. That's a lot of folks who require some help.
That is. That's a staggering number, and again, something that I think just your casual listener and someone out there maybe listening right now just doesn't really want to think about that number even, and at the same time, it's something that you guys have to address, so I'm happy that there is a program out there and that it works. So, well, also, you guys step in trying to have a helping hand in this long, long, you know, fight against elder abuse. Now, are you heading over to Washington, D.C. today to talk more about that non-institutionally abuse against them, like you were trying to push?
Yeah, that'll be part of it. I'm headed to Washington later today. I'm going to testify tomorrow morning in front of the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Aging and offer some recommendations on things that we think Congress could do to kind of beef up our toolbox, if you will, to both prevent and then on the back end investigate and prosecute elder abuse. You know, these are fairly technical things we're going to suggest. One is, as you just alluded to, we're going to reiterate, as I've said to them before, if they would tweak the statute, the federal statute, on how we can use our Medicaid fraud control units, it would give us an additional tool at no additional cost to anybody that we could use to deal with some elder abuse cases, and I'm hopeful that we'll get a welcoming ear on that. I'm also going to suggest some ways that we could do a better job of working together with state authorities and some of the federal law enforcement agencies in their regional offices to deal with elder abuse issues. It's fairly dull technocratic stuff, but I think there are some barriers there that if Congress would help get them out of the way. For example, we could, in our elder abuse prosecution work at the Kansas Attorney General's office, we could much more readily partner with, for example, the Postal Inspection Service out of Kansas City that serves the Kansas area. Or HHS-OIG or Homeland Security investigations on elder abuse cases. I think there's some progress to be made there. So those are the types of things we'll be suggesting.
Yeah, again, it was that tough area of a lot. You know, I remember speaking with you on this a couple of months ago of the elder abuse in those, you know, non-institutionalized, I guess is a way to put it, or, you know, not necessarily just your standard retirement home on those, you know, self-care. There's a lot of times, and to be honest, probably a higher percentage than I'm even thinking of that abuse that happens for those people that come in and help the patient at their own home or on their own accord or something like that. And whether it's thief or whether it's abuse or whatever it may be, I'm sure you know the percentage. It's a lot higher than maybe people think.
It really is. You know, there's one data set out there. Of course, these things are hard to measure because you have low reporting and you know, it's not centralized, but there's one data set out there, fairly reliable, that suggests nationwide for Americans age 65 and older who live at home, so folks who are still living at home, 1 in 10 will become a victim of abuse of some sort, whether it's financial, fiduciary, physical abuse of someone who's trusted and known and has access to the home, or whether it's a scam or ripoff, some sort of remote financial abuse that reaches into the home. 1 in 10 who live at home, that's a pretty distressing number.
Mm-hmm. Again, that's Kansas Attorney General's with us here this morning, Derek Schmidt, over the phones. Well, Derek, again, congratulations on now your third term. Hopefully it is a very good one and smooth one and a good transition with your new staff. Any final notes or anything for our listeners before we lose you?
Well, I just we're still enjoying the snow. It's beautiful in northern Kansas, and I think we're going to get some more, so I hope everybody stays safe and warm, and cheers on the Chiefs if that's your team of choice, and we'll see how things go. Thanks to everybody for letting me do this job for a little while longer. I hope we're doing well for you, and I'm certainly enjoying doing it.
Hey, I'd say so. Third term, it's you got to be doing something right, no doubt about it. Again, that's Derek Schmidt over the phone with us. Derek, we'll check in with you next month or so.
Thanks, Sam. Take care.
Yep. And Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt over the phones. Top of the hour news break on its way. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.